So how many of you got up at 3 o'clock on Friday morning, 4 o'clock on Friday morning to watch the Royal Wedding? A couple of you? So if you don't know, if you were living in a hut somewhere over the week, the Royal Wedding took place on Friday morning. So, yes, the Royal Wedding. So much of the world stopped on Friday to watch the events unfold of the royal wedding. Is it doing something different? Okay. It's been called the wedding of the century. 1,900 guests attended the wedding. They estimated 1 million people in the streets watching the procession. Over 2 billion watched on TV. Over 2 billion worldwide watched on TV the royal wedding. So with all the hype kind of leading up to the royal wedding, it got me thinking, and I don't really know a whole lot about like lords and ladies and duchesses and duchesses and prince and princesses and kings of kings. But it did get me thinking about the King of all kings. And our King. And I've heard one person really talk about our King in a way and describe our King in a way like no other. For those of you who want to be able to find that, Dr. S.M. Lockridge. That was from 1976. Could you imagine preaching something in 1976 and it's still... Oh, okay. Thought you were waving at me. And it still has an impact like that today. I know some of you are like, yeah, I know some people in my life that are remembering stuff that I said in 1976, but not in a good way. S.M. Lockridge, he was born as Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. So, very interesting. So now, I guess you're asking yourself, how's he going to tie that in? That would be a natural question to ask. Well, I'm not. It's just that when I heard that years ago, I always told myself, if I ever got a chance to preach in a church on a Sunday morning, I'm going to play that. And Mike has me up on a short leash already. And depending on how I do today, I may or may not ever get a chance to speak again. So I thought, I'm going to seize the moment. I'm going to play the audio. And it just so happened with the royal wedding, it was just a perfect timing. But it's so true. And the words that he talks about and describes God is so, so true. And when you listen to that, you can go back and listen to the tape and just listen to it over and over, and you'll just get new revelation over and over again. So, but what I want to do and kind of where I want to come from today, we had the royal wedding, and then at the same time, there was also another epic event that took place this week. The NFL draft.
Come on.
Right? Pastor Mike says the NFL draft is more important than the royal wedding that took place. Now, I don't have any statistics. Yes, that took place too. I don't have any statistics on how many people watched the draft, and some of you may not even know what the NFL draft is all about. But so I'll tell you, it's like this. We probably all played kickball in grade school. And the way kickball works is kind of like the way the NFL draft works. Y'all on the playground, two captains get assigned, usually the most athletic or popular guys. They separate. One's over here, one's over there. And then they begin to select guys to be on their team. First couple of guys get picked. I want you. That guy's a stud. You know he's a stud. He was the first one picked. First round draft choice. He gives a little fist pump. Yeah. He gets over to his team captain. Oh, yeah. Yeah, me and you, man. That's the way it goes in on the schoolyard, picking teams. As the line begins to dwindle down, you get about halfway through, the confidence of the people that are selected are a little bit starts to dwindle. It's more than a fist pump. It's kind of like a sigh of relief. Whew, I wasn't last. You know, wasn't last. I'm in the middle. And then it goes all the way down. And you know what happened. There's two people standing there. Jason was one of them and I was the other one. The two fat kids. You're not so worried now about which team you get selected for. You just want to be picked. You don't want to be the last guy standing, because the last guy standing, he didn't actually get chosen to play at all. He just got stuck on the team that would have been last. If he didn't have to, he may not have ever gotten chosen at all. So you're kind of making eyes at the captain like, You know, you're sucking it in if you can. You know, you can't. You know. And you're kind of just waiting to see what happens. And inside of you, inside of the one that's standing there, one of the last two, both of them inside are saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. Trying to hold it together on the outside. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Well, that happened years ago on the playground. Well, that's kind of what the NFL draft is like. Except for, instead of kids on the playground, it's grown men. They're not on the playground anymore. They're sitting in their living rooms by their phone. Maybe their friends and family around them. They're waiting for a phone call. They're waiting for the recruiter or the scout to call, waiting for that phone call to ring. Hey, we're going to pick you in the next round.
Can you hear me better? So you got grown men waiting on the phone to ring saying, pick me, pick me. You know, a lot of us are doing that in our spiritual life still today, like kids on the playground. Inside you're saying, pick me, pick me. That's what you're saying to God. Where's Corey? There he is. Corey reminded me that the last time I spoke, I had to stop halfway through and pray for myself. And he told me after that service, he said, I've never seen a speaker or pastor get up and stop halfway through and have to pray for themselves. And I meant to pray for myself before we even started, and now I hesitate to do it because then Corey's going to come back to me again. But I will have to stop for a second and go back and to reference. Hey, this is what we're going to get to. This is new for me too. And so this is a stretch. It's a challenge. And I know that God has a word that he wants to share this morning. And I just want to make sure that I get it right. Shall I?
Yeah.
All right.
Corey, get up here and pray for him. If you're going to do that to the boy, you're going to pray for him.
Through the mic? Yeah, through the mic.
All right, dear Lord, I just ask that you would be with Philip right now, God, that you would just continue to speak your words through him, Lord. You've already imparted something, Lord, and I just ask that you would continue to speak through him, God, or that you would just give him the confidence to speak exactly what you have him to speak, Lord. And Lord, just let him know that you have the word that we all need this morning. Amen.
Amen. That's good. That's a good word. So we live our spiritual lives like that. Maybe you sit over here and maybe it's not just two of you, but maybe you look across the room. maybe when somebody else prays, you think, man, I can't pray like that. Or maybe when somebody else worships, they raise their hands, or maybe they weep, maybe they laugh, maybe they dance, maybe they have flags. Maybe none of that really resonates with what you feel like doing. Maybe you just stand there. Are we comparing ourselves to what others are doing? Are we still standing there looking over our shoulder at the other guy, wondering what qualifications we have to be picked for the team? Well, I want to tell you something, that God has already chosen you. God has picked you. Your phone has rung. Your team, is that good? You like that? Your team is up to bat or kick, and you're at the plate. It's your turn. In Romans 8:29, if you want to turn there, I'm going to read a couple of different out of a couple of different versions. I want to start with the NIV. For those, this is how I know that you've been chosen, that God's already chosen you, that you're on his team. You don't have to say, pick me, pick me. He already has picked you. God chose you. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be, we're talking about Jesus, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers. So he was the firstborn, and we're the many brothers. The New Living Translation says it like this: for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. He chose them. God chose you. You're on his team. You're on the Super Bowl team. So if we've been chosen, why aren't we in the game? Why are we still sitting on the sidelines? Is it because of the little kid syndrome that we're still saying in our head, pick me, pick me, pick me? We're sizing ourselves up against other people. You don't want to be picked last? Well, you haven't been picked last. You've been picked first. We've all been picked first. You know, and that one Dr. Lockridge says, there's a phrase in there that he says that he can supply all of our needs simultaneously. By that same supernatural ability, he has the ability to pick all of us first. We were all picked first. That's the way God is. That's his omnipresence. He can be everywhere all the time. He can pick you first. He can pick me first. He's omnipotent, all-knowing. He can do that. God chose you. Stop being defeated and beaten down. You are on a team. And I think that's what God wants us to know today. It's not a you deal. It's an us deal. It is a family deal. It's a team. We are a team. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But what God wants us to know today is that you have been chosen. It's like the Dallas Cowboys. We're talking about the NFL draft. So they pick Tyron Smith. He's an offensive lineman. I was gonna bring some photos of this guy that I saw on the internet. This guy's a hoss. He's 6'5", like 310 pounds, 311. Okay, built like a brick outhouse. I was gonna bring some imagery. If you're having trouble picturing what that might look like. Picture. This guy is a stud. Ripped. I couldn't show the pictures because in them he had his shirt off, and you guys would be jealous, and the women would, you know, be like, whoa, you know. But this guy's a stud, though. Could you imagine the Cowboys spending their first-round pick on Tyrone Smith and then sitting him on the bench for the next 5 years? That'd be stupid. That'd be stupid. Everybody'd be like, whoa, oh, what? You wasted your draft pick. Dude's sitting on the bench. Well, God chose us. We just read it in Romans. So you're on his team. So why do we spend our lives? You're lucky if it's only 5 years. For most of us, we have elements of our life that have been plaguing us our whole life. Pastor Mike called the walls of Jericho earlier. You know, it's so much what lines up with what I felt like God was sharing with me and wanted me to share. He called it walls of Jericho. We just prayed for it. We just prayed about it right before in the ministry time. Some of the examples that I had that make us feel like we're on the B team, on the second team, you know, when we pray here corporately, you know, a lot of times we stand up and people be asked, go pray for that person. Go gather around. Do you do that? And if you don't, why don't you? There's been times where I haven't felt like it. I didn't want to come up here this morning when he talked about walls of Jericho, because I've got areas in my own life that I need God to work in me on. And it was counterintuitive for me to come up here and in an act of humility, you might say, what I'm supposed to be sharing with y'all this morning. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, I'm supposed to come and share something with you, and I've got stuff in my own life that I need God to work on. Well, it's because we all do. We all have stuff that we need to work on. And it's not a weakness. It's not a weakness. In fact, God knew it was going to be this way. I was back to Tyrone Smith. I was listening to the radio Friday night, I think it was, or Saturday. And so I was listening to the Cowboys national scout that does all their scouting. And he's like, man, I know this guy. I've really gotten to know this guy. I've picked him up at the airport. We've gone out for steak. We've spent hours in conversation. I've met his family. I've been there. This guy gets paid to crunch numbers, to look at it. He knows how fast he runs the 40, how he does the cone drill, how he knows his vertical jump, his lateral leap. He knows everything about this guy. He knows this guy. The guy's a stud. And he tells the Cowboys, hey, you need him. You need to pick him. Guy's a stud. So he's being interviewed on the radio, and the guys that are interviewing him say, well, what's his weakness? What does he need to work on? I'm thinking, weakness? This dude, he's 6'10", 6'11", or 6'5", 3'10", 3'11". He doesn't have any weakness. He was the Cowboys' number one draft pick. He can't have a weakness. He's got it all together. So they ask him, what is his weakness? What's he need to work on? I'm thinking, he better not need to work on anything. And the guy says, yeah, he technique. His technique's not where it needs to be. And he goes on, he says, but I can say that about a lot of guys that we've drafted into the NFL. And he goes on and he names about six other players, guys that, you know, if you've ever watched football, you would know. NFL players, some retired even. And the point is, even when in the natural, on the top of our game like that, we still need coaches around us. We still need people in our lives. There's still areas in our lives that have to be worked on, that have to be tweaked, that have to be adjusted. None of us have it all together. Are you waiting, thinking that you've got to have it all together before you can step out? Are you thinking that something that went on in your walk earlier in the week, in your life, in your day, at your work, at your home, is going to keep you from going over across and praying for somebody, stop. God chose you. You're on His team. And it doesn't mean that there's aren't areas that you need to work on, but we've got to work on them. But we can't let that stop us from being in the game. We can't let that keep us on the bench. I want you to look around for a second. And when you look around, I want you to look at the people in the room here. I really want you to physically look around. And when you look around, I want you to look with this in mind. This is your coaching staff. The people in this room are our strength and conditioning team. You may have an offensive coordinator sitting over here somewhere. That person's going to coach you in dreams, in prayer, in intercession. You may have a defensive coach sitting over here. That person's going to be a hand to hold, a shoulder to cry on. They're going to be there through the trials and through the storms, because the trials and the storms will come. They are coming. They're here. The Jerichos, however we want to phrase it. Those people are there to walk with you. When you look around the room, do you see those people in your life? Or are you sitting alone thinking, I don't have any coaches. I'm doing this alone. I'm going to be bold and just say it's foolish to do it alone. It's foolish. And I can say that about my own life, because there's areas that I need to work on and that I don't let people into. But it's foolish. God defines it in a bunch of different ways about the body. Uses the physical body, the arms, the eyes, all of that. And we're all different parts. But I'm just going to put it like this. We're a team. We've got coaches in here. We're a family. We laugh together. We cry together. We teach each other. We coach each other. You may be a veteran. You may have been to a couple of Pro Bowls. Or this may be your rookie season in the spiritual realm. And it doesn't mean that you might not be a pro bowler in parenting. Okay, you've been a pro bowler in parenting. But when it comes to finances, you're a rookie. Well, you speak into somebody's life in parenting, and then you get help over here with the finances. See, we think sometimes that we have to have it all together. It's not the case. God knew we were going to have struggles. God knows there will be trials. If you skip down in that same passage in Romans 8 to verse 35, Paul talks about some of the trials. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the Scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. It's talking about God. For your sake, we're killed every day like sheep to the slaughter. That's a question. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? That's the question. And then he goes on to explain several things that were relevant during those days. nakedness. I'm pretty sure that'd still be pretty important today if you found yourself naked. But the relevance there is a state of where you're at. Maybe it's a financial state. Maybe that's representative of nakedness. You don't have minimal requirements, provision, you might say. So the question is asked, can anything separate us? Verse 37, no. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory. He could have just said victory. He could have just said victory. But overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. The NIV says it like this, verse 37 answers the question, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He could have just said we're conquerors. He could have just said we won the game. But He didn't. He said we're more than conquerors. If you're going to be more than a conqueror, what's the first thing you need? Aha! Something to conquer. If you're going to be more than a conqueror, even if you're going to be just a conqueror, the first thing you need is something to conquer. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Who has something going on in your life that you need God's help conquering? I couldn't tell, but I'm pretty sure everybody raised their hand. Because the Scripture says right here, it's going to happen. We're going to have these things. So when you struggle with something, it doesn't mean you're a B-teamer. It doesn't mean you're sitting on the bench for 5 years. It means that you become more than a conqueror. God's given us Jesus. We're more than a conqueror through Him. Through Him. All we have to do is to tap into that. To become more than a conqueror. He already wrote it down. He told us we're going to have all this stuff. Doesn't mean that we're out of the game. One way that we tap into what God wants us to do is to be plugged into the body that He has us in. Be plugged into the team that He has us on. We talked about the coaches, the offensive coach, the defensive coach, whatever it is. God has you here in this body at Hope Fellowship, surrounded by these people for a reason, surrounded by us. There's some of you that I need to be more a part of your life. There's some of me that needs some of you guys to pour into my life more. That's how we tap into the victory that God wants us to have. Remember, it's a team. It's not a one-man game. There's no I in team. I swore I wouldn't use that today. It just came right out. There's no I in team. There isn't me. Pastor Mike talked about the walls of Jericho earlier. Well-known author and public speaker and coach, John Maxwell. He names a few of these things that we may need to conquer in our lives. Do any of these resonate with you? And each one of these can have about a gazillion little sub dots, whatever you want to call it, if you're a note taker, bullets. Fear, impatience, denial, impulsiveness, deceit, jealousy, anger, confidence. Could be over, could be under. Overconfident? Are you overconfident? Are you underconfident? A lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. People's perceptions of us. That's a big one. Are these things that you need to conquer in your life? There's some of those on that list that I need to conquer in my life. I need guys, I need men around me to speak into my life to help overcome some of these areas. And while we've got, I don't know how many people are here, maybe 50, 60, 70, I don't know. I feel like that Jesus kind of gave us the example, and Pastor Mike's talked about this for years. While there may be an entire body, I really feel like God will align you with three, just like he had with his disciples. Peter, James, and John were the three that were closest to him. Look for those three coaches, mentors, spiritual fathers and mothers, if you will, that are going to be the three that are closest to you. One, two, three people. I don't want to be super rigid on what that is. I don't know what that is, but I really feel like Jesus gave us the example with the three that were closest to him. Then he had 12, using the example of Jesus and his team. He had 12. They were still close to him. Not quite as close as the first three. And then he had a second generation of disciples, if you will, later on, of 70. Maybe this is the 70. Maybe you're 12. Maybe it's a small group that you're in. Maybe you're going to young marriage class. Maybe you're going to financial peace. Maybe you're going to whatever it is. Maybe that's your 12. Probably somewhere within that group right there is going to be your top three. Allow those people to speak into your lives. We can't do this alone, guys. We can't do it alone. It's so, so important. And I really feel like that you're going to start hearing this more and more. I really feel like the timing, this is not what I was going to share today, but I felt like God really twisted and put it on my heart about this. And I feel like that you're going to start hearing more and more of this in this house about, well, I know you will. Spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. We need each other. Fear, impatience, denial, impulsiveness, deceit, jealousy, anger, confidence, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, and people's perception of us. Maxwell calls them lids. John Maxwell calls them lids. He says everybody's born with them, and we get more throughout our life. This is really good. Titles and positions. Don't eliminate them. Pastor Mike has lids. Rhett has lids. I've got lids. The fact that I'm up here sharing today doesn't mean I don't have lids. Titles and positions, they don't eliminate them. So no matter where you are in your walk, it means that you've got some too. Lids, areas that you need to conquer, areas that we need to conquer. So it almost makes you think that when the call goes out of, we're going to open the altar, and I'm not sure if any of you need to come down and pray for something, but we're going to open the altar. I had my back, so I don't know who came down. I don't know how. Maybe we all did. I don't know. But it kind of makes you think that we should all be down here for something. Because the Bible just told us in Romans 8 there that we've all got these areas. So you may not be coming down for the same thing as somebody else, but there's something there that you need to conquer. Grab a hold of it. Grab a hold. Come down. Grab a hold of the guy next to you. Hey, find one of your top three. Find one of your top 12. Go stand by them. Pray with them. It's a team. We need each other. You know, this last week I got a chance to, I say it's a chance, I went back and I worked for the family that I had worked for a couple of years as a private chef. Their guy was out on medical leave. So I went back last Friday and all this past week. And as I was there, I got kind of sucked back into that oppression, that heaviness, the spiritual heaviness that was there. I would come home at night. I just felt just short-tempered, just wanted to be isolated. And through the days that I was there, God began to really speak to my heart during the day of when I decided, not when I decided, but I felt like the Lord led me to leave there back in at the beginning of January, January 1. And part of leading up to that was things that I felt like God had put on my heart that he wanted me to do. And God began to remind me of those. And I was really convicted. So I just want to share a little bit of my heart with you about some of those things. You know, God does want me to get to know some of you better. And he's put me in a position to be able to do that. You know, I want to be able to go out and throw the ball or kick the ball with my kids. I have the ability to do that now. Go on a walk, go on a bike ride. I don't come home at 10 o'clock at night like I used to. That was a huge, huge reason that I left where I was at, was my wife and kids. That was the reason that I left, because I was absent from their lives. You want to know how many times I've done that since I've been away from there? Not one. That's an area of my life that I need help in. I let this busyness, this not really busyness, control me. Here's a big one. their daughter asked me to look at catering their wedding. Procrastination in my life and disorganization caused me to put it off and put it off to where one day turned into two, a week turned into 2 weeks, turned into a month. I apologize. And I've communicated with Mariah about that. It's a huge deal in my life. That's an area that I need accountability in my business. And I've let my past kind of drive a little bit of that right now. Now, I don't want this to turn into a next half hour of confession on me. But what I'm trying to tell you is, I just want to be real with you. When I get up here and share, when Pastor Mike gets up here and shares, when any of us get up here and share, don't think for a second it's because we've got all the answers. Don't think for a second it's because we know and everything in our life is worked out. No, the reason is because we know we've been chosen. We know we're on the A team. We may feel like a B teamer at times. We may feel like we need to sit on the bench in certain areas. But what we really need to do is we need to grab that strength and conditioning coach. There's going to be one, two, three of them. We need to grab that guy. And if you don't have that guy, then what do? Where are you? You're alone. Guys, I can't encourage us enough. We need each other. We need each other. I love you guys, and I'm sorry for letting you down. That was good. You know, I just, like I said, I just want to be transparent with you guys. I know you don't want me to air out all my laundry, and I don't want to do that. But, you know, I just, a couple of things right there that God put on my heart during praise and worship to share with you guys. And I'll be honest with you, He put it on my heart, and I feel like that there's going to be some breakthrough in some of those areas by me sharing it with you. So, okay. So, everybody stand up, will you? I'm not going to ask you guys to come up here and grab the mic. But men, this is a fine line. This is a dicey thing right here. Men, married men, fathers, I'm not tooting my own horn. Some of you need to do with your wife and with your children just that. You have areas that God's been speaking to you in, areas to conquer, lids, if you will, walls of Jericho, whatever you want to call them. You keep stuffing them down. You won't let anybody know what they are. But God knows and you know. You don't have to come up here and take the mic. You don't even have to tell anybody. I'd encourage you to. I'd encourage you to find one of your three. Maybe that's a good way to start. Share that with somebody. But be honest with yourself. You know, John Maxwell talks about this with lids. Do you have enough courage and humility to seek help? Do we have enough courage and humility to seek help? That's my question to you today. So with everybody standing, anybody want to play some nice soft music or anything? And you know, I know Pastor Mike doesn't want that to keep us what's going, but I just want to pray. I don't want to just isolate the men, but I will say that that's where my heart is for the men. I feel like that's where God has ordained me, if you will, is to call men out into their destiny. God chose you, and He knew you were going to have the stuff that you got. He was like the international scout. He knew that you would need help on your technique, and He still drafted you. He still chose you on His team. Stop letting life get in the way of what God's called you to do. He wants you to be an all-star. He sent His Son Jesus to show us the way, to provide the way. We've all got it. The question is, do you have the courage and humility to ask for help? And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, I just pray, Lord, that You would reveal to us the coaches that You have for us, the mentors, the mothers and fathers, the spiritual mothers and fathers that You have in our lives, Lord. God, I pray that You would reveal to us those we need to be mentoring, those we need to be spiritual mother and fathers to. God, I pray that You would just give us the courage and humility to seek help, Lord. God, I pray especially for the men of Hope Fellowship, Lord, that You would give them the courage. But I really feel like You're just saying it's humility that we lack. It's pride and arrogance that we lack. The maverick spirit that keeps us from seeking help. God, I pray that You would just break that down right now. Lord, I pray that You would just break pride and arrogance, Lord, off of us. God, I pray that You would make us humble, Lord. Humble to seek You. Humble to ask for help, Lord, from You and from those around us, Lord. I pray that You would just give us, Lord, the steps to take in the natural It's going to be hard that first time to share. What if this guy doesn't gel with me? What if he goes and tells somebody else? What if he tells his wife what I just told him? You know, sometimes, guys, you leave the huddle and you heard the play wrong. You go back and you do it again. You don't stop playing the game. It doesn't keep you from going back to the huddle and going back and running another play. If you're worried about whether or not you're going to get hurt, let me clear that up for you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to offend you, because the closer you get to somebody, the easier it is to get offended. The more transparent you become, the easier it is to get offended. It's not a matter of if, but have the courage and the humility, though, to seek help. God's going to work on that other person. Because you know what? They've got a hand out and they've got a hand up both. God's working on us all, myself included. Lord, thank you for your word, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would just penetrate our hearts, Lord. God, I pray that if there's anything, Lord, that resonates in somebody's heart here this morning that you gave me to share, Lord, I pray that you would just work that in their life, Lord. God, I pray that they would just not forget it, Lord. I pray they'd write it down. Whatever it is you're showing us, Lord, I pray that we would just write it down, pray about it, get with somebody quickly this week, today, tomorrow. Get with those people in our lives, Lord, that you've put there. I thank you for this family, Lord. I thank you for my family. And thank you for the people that you've put in my life as spiritual fathers and mothers, Lord. In Jesus' name.